It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I could have made it more uncomfortable for you and delighted it.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button, of course, so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great ways to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today. Oh, this is a fun episode. Kelly Deal and Mike Montgomery. Together, they are our ring. Of course, you also know Kelly from The Breeders. And we've got special guest Matt Hart. Poet Matt Hart. We're going to be talking about the new R-Ring album called War Poems We Rested. Now, this is a multimedia project, an extravaganza, as we say in the interview. So there's the album that Kelly and Mike do, and then they hand the album over to Matt Hart, who then gives a song apiece to his friends. Now, his friends are like Sonic Youth's Lee Ronaldo, Speedy Ortiz's Sadie Dupuis, actress Amber Tamblyn, and in turn, they write poems inspired by the tracks they were given, all of which were then bound in an accompanying chapbook. So we're going to hear all about that whole process, what it means both to both sides of the art, to the poetry, to the music. Kelly and Mike also going to go on and tell us about the music itself and the importance of collaboration. And of course, we'll be talking a little bit about The Breeders. The Breeders have some big shows coming up. It's the 30th anniversary of their album Last Splash, one of the greatest albums of all time. So what does that mean for the year and The Breeders? We'll hear about that as well. We'll get into that. We're, of course, talking War Poems We Rested. It's Kyle Meredith with Kelly Deal and Mike Montgomery of Our Ring and poet Matt Hart.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to see you both. New record. It's called War Poems We Rested. It's so much fun to listen to. I mean, this is the record that the only record I want to play right now. So let's just, you know, congratulations on that right off the bats.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
So let's talk about this album. You know, it has been 6 years. I know there was a little pandemic that got in the way in the middle of it, and also I want to say, because you just joined, we've got Matt Hart here as well, who's a part of this concept too. I want to say hi to Matt real quick. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
All right. We're going to be throwing it your way here in a minute, but as I was saying, so it's been a few years. I know there's a pandemic in the middle, but when did this record start happening again? Where does this album start for you all?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting take on it, because it kind of started. One of the songs is back from before Ignite the Rest, our previous record. So it's interesting that it's always like a continual thread of like, you know, playing, writing, you know, readdressing songs, backing away from them because they suck and I suck and I need to quit the band. I need to quit music business. And then you're like, oh, I've just made a breakthrough on this song. Isn't that fun? So,
yeah.
So we've been carrying some of the songs with us, and, you know, we got busy. I got busy with the Breeders, and we kept, Mike and I would record with, Mike recorded a lot of the Breeders material, All Nerve, the last record, in his studio, Candyland Recording Studios, which is in Dayton, Kentucky, very close to where you guys are. But yeah, so we started working on it then, and we just kind of worked up till 2020 on the new batch of songs and got them all kind of recorded. And then we just finished up the final mixes, and COVID hit. And then we were like, okay, well, we'll do the album artwork, and we'll do the sequencing, and we'll TikTok wait for vinyl to be able to, you know, to become available. And before you know it, you know, 3 years have gone by. So, but it, with the, because of the thing, of the, just because of the way we actually needed every bit of that time, it turns out, you know, because the album, the artwork, that we just love the artwork, and we love the addition of Matt's chapbook, that the poetry chapbook, where we stole a lot of the artwork from, by the way, from Alla Testa. It all worked out really in the end. So
that's an interesting thing too, because it's not just an album, as you're saying. I mean, there is this whole poetry side, and does that, like, I hate to do the obvious, what's the album title about, but I feel like it really plays a part in here, because it's called War Poems / We Rested. Does that come in with the poetry, or was that there before? Like, how does that play? Like, what does it mean?
It was there before. It's a lyric in the song Volunteer. And the poems came about, and Matt can take over for me. But, you know, we really love his writing, and he's a great poet, and he's great when he does readings and stuff. It's like a live concert, you know, it's really captivating. And
one of the last shows that we played, you know, before COVID, was with Matt's band for his new CD release. And it was at, like, the band played, and also he collected several poets to perform. I don't know, what do you call it? Speak, perform, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was like my first experience with that. And it was amazing. I was so entertained. I didn't know how, it was like watching a performance, like watching a band, somebody getting up there and doing that. It was really moving for me. And so, but it always reminds me that, you know, that was the last show that we did. But sorry, Mike, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's totally fine. My kid's going like berserker with, you know, his toys in the other room anyway. So I had myself muted. But yeah, so we had asked Matt to write liner notes, and then he got back a couple of days later and was like, maybe instead of me doing that, I could send one song to, you know, 10 different poets, and they could use that as a jumping off point, create their own piece of work and send it back. And he had this whole kind of concept, but we had the record, the audio mixed, mastered, all that kind of stuff. And talking to Matt was like, was a thought of us just like, oh, what should the art and packaging be? Maybe we should have a little blurb. Let's talk to Matt. And then he really ballooned it into this whole giant concept piece. And
what were you thinking, Matt?
I was thinking, what an amazing opportunity, but.
And we'll be right back right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with R Rings, Kelly Dillon, Mike Montgomery, and poet Matt Hart.
You know, when you guys asked me to write something for the record, and I did wind up writing something, but I wrote sort of the afterword to the chat book. I just thought, like, I don't know, this record's great. Who the heck am I? I can send one song to a bunch of different people that I know who, for the most part, are writers, they're poets and musicians. So most of the people that are in the chat book are writers and musicians in some way or another. Some of them are from, you know, quite important bands like Lee Ronaldo from Sonic Youth. And some of them have played in, like, you know, their local scene for forever and ever. And then there were a couple of poets that I got who aren't musicians, but who have written about music a lot, like Hanif Abdurraqib and Jackie Clark, who used to run a site called Cold Front magazine, where she did this thing called Poets Off Poetry, where poets would write about bands. So to me, it just seemed like a cool way to make this a sort of collaborative effort, in the way that the band is a collaborative effort. I mean, you know, it's like when you have a song, right? There's the performance, there's the music with lyrics, and then there's the music, and all this stuff comes together to make something that's greater than the sum of its parts. And I really like the idea of making a chat book that is a sort of response to that record that does the same kind of thing. And I also like the idea of, like, playing with the notion of what is the difference between song lyrics and poetry. And, you know, for different writers, it's a really, it's different. I mean, I think some people, their process is such that they could be writing lyrics or they could be writing poetry at any given time, and they could sort of, you know, take a poem that they've written and put it to music, and that would be, it would be lyrics too. But there are a lot of writers, I think, that think of that as a really different process, a really different kind of thing. And I think we have people that have a lot of different approaches in this chat book. So it's really exciting to get to do it. I was, you know, really, really honored that you guys asked me to be a part of it. And I think the book turned out beautifully. It's this gorgeous little screen printed chat book. It says, you know, War Poems on the front, and We Rested. And I can't say enough about Alatesta Press, which is Chris Mattingly and Laurel Leonetti, who actually put the book together and laid it out. And then,
and they're where are they from? Where are they based?
So they were based at the time, they were based in Louisville, and they've now moved to Santa Cruz, which is where Laurel is from.
Excuse me?
Yeah, so they're in California.
So here I am in Louisville right now, thinking, oh, what a nice local tie. And they've already jumped ship. That's
And they were there for a long time. I mean,
I have to say, every time my sister and I, every time we mention the words Santa Cruz, we do Santa Cruz. And I just did the evil, you know, the evil thing where you put your fingers up to your mouth and you spit.
Dude, why?
Mean hippies. Mean, aggressive little.
No, I was just thinking of the last Breeders show there at that theater. And we had like half a day, and I went to that skate park down the street, and that park fucking ruled.
Oh, are you allowed to cuss here?
All you want.
Oops.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I had it was like a rare thing where there was a show and I could just dick around for most of the day. I just cruised down the street, skated this park forever, went back, did the show. It was like, Santa Cruz was rad. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'm not here to start any battles, but we got a pretty great skate park. I don't need to go to Santa Cruz for that. So it's,
yeah, I've been to the Louisville one a bunch.
Yeah. I've been to that skate park. Yeah.
Like, to have an original idea these days for an album is kind of hard. I can't think of another time that someone's done this. The idea that you have this record, and then here we're going to give it to poets, and they take it and they write this poetry based on the songs. And I've heard you all say in other interviews with the idea of possibly taking those poems to write other songs too. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Which we've already kind of started. Like, I wrote a song and I took one of Amber Tamblyn's lyrics.
Yeah, what was it? A Dirt Wish?
Dirt Wish, yeah. It can be anything, man. Like, if we take a word, or if we read the poem, and then that, if that sparks anything, we're calling that like inbounds. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
That's the process.
Bounds is a perfect way to describe it, Mike.
Yeah. And it's just, it's a jumping off point. And so what Matt was talking about, collaboration or the origin of an idea or this sort of like the momentum that an idea can get, the process of creating, you know, I was just reading an article about Echo and the Bunnymen and that whole lyric, fate up against your will, you will wait until through thick and thin, you'll wait until you give yourself, like he said, he woke up and the whole thing was in his head. He said, I didn't write that. I credited half to God. It was a dream. I woke up and that was the whole chorus. I don't write words like that. I dreamt it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, where does inspiration come from? Like, is it from somebody else? You know, I guess what I'm getting at is it was really interesting to write something and then have someone else write something based off of that. And then to actually see it in process in kind of real time is really fascinating and humbling. And yeah, I'm just fascinated by all of it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the intro, by the way, to The Killing Moon was an accident too, the guitar part, like that whole song.
I read that same thing, that he was tuning and the producer was like, dude, that's, keep that in there. We must have read the same thing.
Well, I had I'm blanking on his name, the guitarist. I just had him on my show last year. So I'm
Sweet.
Straight from the horse's mouth, as they say. I got that story.
Wow. So. Nice.
Where are those moments on, I should take that opportunity since we're here. Where are those moments on this album? Because when I hear this, like the the mood of exit music and those plunks on the guitar. I mean, I hear a lot of artists talk about sort of music by accidents, and you have actual music by accident, and then you have, you know, music that you try to make it sound like it's an accident.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, where does that song fall in there?
That's interesting because the song itself was purposely kind of, I was totally going for that kind of mood of like something from the mid, you know, the monks. What are those monks where they just something very sacral to there was a lot, you know, I was doing some elder care and there was some death and dying happening in the house and it was all very scary and upsetting. And I had to be quiet as well. So one of the things I wanted to do was just put down a demo guitar as a memo so I could remember, you know, to put it in there and just to play around with it. And nothing sounded as good as that demo guitar, which is just my Mac speaker on the Mac catching that with no amplification. And it sounds really good. I really like that, how that turned out. But you know, it's like so obvious to me that sounds good and that should have been just leave it alone. Goodbye. We'd go to the next thing. But I mean, it took, you know, weeks and weeks and a thought about, oh, what am I going to do with that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Got to fix that. Like, what am I fixing? It's perfect.
But I think the experience with the process of recording sometimes can tell you like, hey, it shouldn't be that easy. Nothing deserves to be a one take or first, like you do one take and it's like, is that really it? And you think like, no, I better put the work in, you know, because for the thought of like, you don't want to be lazy, you know, sometimes like you get the best take, you're setting up mics and just getting the sound. And then whatever you played when you weren't like trying ends up being better than the actual take when like the red light is on and you're like trying to do the part, you know, there's something, you tap into something different, I think.
Yeah, and same thing like with Medieval, which is that beautiful piano moment with Dan Dorf. How do you say it? Dan Dorf Jr.
Dan Dorf. I know Dan, by the way.
That's, really?
Yeah, love Dan. Yep.
So he came into the studio, took a half hour. Mike had written that tune on guitar, but it just wasn't right somehow. And we were like, what are we doing? It's like, we what about a piano? And so Mike invited him to Candyland. And within, he said, I got a half hour. I could do a half hour. And we said, do it. And it sounds beautiful. But the bass on that, right? It just do some whole notes, Cal. You know, find the root, just do some whole notes, right? But no, how long did we spend on that bass?
Dan played the piano in probably 12 minutes and then left. And then we probably spent 13 hours trying to figure out four notes to play on the bass guitar.
It had to be just so, or the whole mood and song would crumble under the weight of a bass note hitting every downbeat on the note when the chords change. Bum ba dum ba dum. It couldn't be. It had to be finessed. Yeah, just maddening, but so much fun.
It's kind of like you're saying. It's also that moment of just giving in, like that moment of just giving in to the song. I think is as you were saying, Mike, just one of the hardest things to sort of realize and notice. You know, just I don't know, but thankfully you all did.
That's a great way to put that, giving in to the song, because the song absolutely tell you. Go ahead, Mike.
That's what a good producer could do, but we don't, you know, we self-make all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's
You guys are great producers then, is what you're saying.
Well, we take, that's not what I'm saying is, it's good to have like someone else tell you like, stop right there. Don't do a single extra stroke. Like, it's good. Like, I'll do a take and I'm like, I hate myself. I hate my voice. I'm just going to just cut my throat right now. Kelly would be like, don't change anything. And then I'll say that, like, I'll say the same thing to her. And I do this with Matt, with his band. I record his band a bunch, you know. I think a lot of artists have that, you don't know when you're done, or like, since it's you playing it, you're like, was that any good? Or I can't even tell. You just hear yourself in it so much, whether it's the guitar or the vocal, whatever. It's hard to have the distance and know if like, is this working? Am I helping this idea come across, or are my fingerprints all over it, kind of?
You know, I was thinking about like with poetry, when I'm thinking about these poems and I have been reading them and things, I like, how do you know when a poem is done? When is it done? I mean, cause I know that.
Yeah, Matt, we're looking at you here.
The words in a piece of music,
right?
When the music stops, you shut up. So, right. I mean, when is a poem done, Matt?
It's a total mystery. And I think, you know, very often it's like when you get to that place where you're sort of following you're following the words and you're following the sounds and you're trying to figure out what the poem wants to be and where it wants to go. And the moment that the poem says to you, like, now we've said the thing we need to say, then you get out. Like, then you're done. It's like over.
Like an economy of words almost, in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, often people think about poetry as being pretty economical with language and very concentrated, but I think that, I don't know, everything comes to an end, right? I mean, endings happen, so it's like, and you know, there are somebody said, you know, poetry is an art of beginnings and ends. Ooh. And the middle is just there to tie it all together, and it's like, that's different than with songs, with music, you know? But I think there is something to that idea that like a poem begins with a bang and it ends with, you know, another bang that's larger, or it ends with a whisper, it ends with, you know, a sigh or whatever, but it's like somehow you get to this spot and you're like, yeah, that's it. But sometimes it, you know, it takes forever to like get there and figure that out.
And not to be cheeky, but there's also the sense of what you let us see. You could have written 30 verses, and like, but what I'm going to give you is the 5 that,
yeah. Moved out.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with R Rings, Kelly Deal, and Mike Montgomery, and poet Matt Hart.
Oh, just, I think Matt writes every single day, kind of no matter what, it seems like. So are you still doing that poem a day?
Oh yeah, I've been doing that for years.
So you almost have to stop a poem because you got to start another one, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I also have these sort of larger, long projects that I work on too. But it's like, I like the idea of putting my head into a process and allowing the process to be the thing that sort of drives the art, you know, in a way that like, rather than having a bunch of intentions, just having a sort of process and not worrying about whether it turns out to be any good. You know, it's like, I'm going to do it every day. And I believe that if I do it every day, that some of them will be good. Not all of them will be good. Most of them probably won't be good, but I mean, it's the same in songwriting, right? It's like you write tons of songs, you write tons of riffs, you write lots of lyrics, you write lots of melodies, and they don't they don't all end up on the record. Some of the, they don't even end up as outtakes. They don't even end up as songs. It's just you're engaged in that process that allows you to, you know, find your way. And even when you're making something that's not good, you're practicing for making the thing that's going to be good next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Matt, did you take your own assignment? I mean, I know you did some liners, but did you also take one of the songs yourself?
I didn't. I really liked the idea of...
Well, you kind of did. You kind of took the last song. Didn't you?
I did. That's true.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. True. That was kind of the afterword.
That's the instrumental, yeah, right?
But I didn't write... I wrote something that's not really a traditional sort of poem, but it's definitely, I feel like the afterword is poetic, yes. But I don't know if it's a poem.
Yeah.
There's still the chance though. You could, I mean, summarizing the full album if you need to, or leapfrogging on the next leapfrog that happens. However,
exactly. Right.
And so, but, to mention a few of those poets that you brought on, I mean, Lee Rinaldo, by the way, I have several of his books. I love Sonic Youth, and it turns out that usually his song ends up being one of my favorites. New York City Ghost and Flowers is one of my all-time favorite poems of all, you know, that's that he did there. Sadie Dupuis, you know, I'm a fan of hers too, and yeah. Speedy Ortiz and her whole scene, Sad 13 and everything.
Yes.
Like you kind of mentioned a few of these. Were there any guidelines, or did you just say, here's a song, what inspires you?
Yeah, there really were not parameters beyond giving them the song and saying, how can you use this as a sort of jumping off point to make something new? And I really liked what Mike was talking about before, the idea of like, you know, you get stuck on a phrase or you get stuck on a word, you turn it over and over again, and something comes out of that. I mean, I always think about the fact that like, you know, poems are not made out of like deep thoughts or brilliant thinking. They're made out of words, right? So it's like, where are you going to get your words? And for these poets, they got words, but they also got, you know, inspiration from the music. And, you know, if you read the poems that are in the chat book, I mean, it's really clear that they're responding to this songs.
Mm-hmm. You know, really the poem by Jeremy Michael Clark, who actually is from Louisville.
Yes.
He was in like some like old OG bands there, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what those bands were?
No, I don't right now. But I mean, they were like, you know, they were local bands, but they were like local hardcore bands.
Oh, like, yeah. Anyway, his poem assignment was Volunteer. And so when I read his poem, it was called For All This. And I was like, so mad. I'm like, why didn't I call that song For All This? What a great title. It's interesting how he picked that up and named, you know, and that's like some, like, I don't know, I wouldn't have captured those three words and held them up and said, yes, you know, but until he did, I'm like, of course, those are great. It's perfect. Great.
And some compliments, by the way, like starting off the album, All I Want Is a Cigarette and Someone to Pay Rent. Like that sums up so much in one line.
It's true.
Not asking much.
True story.
Oh. And the music to that one too. Like there's whatever's happening in the background, what do you call it? It's not a wail, but it reminds me of like those 60s. You know, whatever's happening, I love every bit of that.
Star Trek girls,
yeah.
Which part are you talking about? The
all the big girls and the space girls that, you know, and the big outro section, right? Yep.
Are you talking about the outro or
yep, it's the outro, right?
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, that's the Star Trek vocals. Yeah, that's what we call them.
I love that. And it's, you know, I could go through here. I'm just looking at the track list and just going, yes, yes. Like Stoli, I mean, what a cool ass song that one right there is. Like every bit of it's not a question. That's just a compliment. Stoli, Cartoon Heart. Like you're hitting all the right buttons for me.
Thanks.
Now, Lee Rinaldo was assigned Stoli, which made Mike's heart just pitter-pat.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. You know what's up.
Yeah, I did that for you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's funny, we also have like been trying to work with videographers or artists, really. I mean, to develop like, sorry, my cat's banging me in the face with the tail, to create a visual component to all the songs. And one of the songs, Cartoon Heart, no, that's wrong. I'm thinking about a different song. I was thinking about Joe on Medieval, Embers.
Oh, yeah. Embers on a Sleepwalk. Sorry, Kyle, we call that one. We call Embers Sleepwalk Medieval because the original, when it was originally on guitar, it sounded like something that would be on like, a lute. You know, olden times, you know.
I like knowing that now that I'll have to go back and listen to it with that in mind.
Yeah, it was a period piece from, you know, the 1400s, and we decided let's try it on piano, not this cat gut crap. See how it comes across.
But the videos, by the way, they do look great too. And it's just like this other component. I guess what I'm getting to is what you can do beyond the song and what you all have done beyond the song. I mean, this is really what I, you know, some artists would call a multimedia experience, this record.
Extravaganza. As a matter of fact, we actually do have a multimedia extravaganza that we have planned.
We've got a made for TV spectacular happening tomorrow night on Bandcamp Live. We've got an hour and something long film that we've made where we go track by track through the record. It's a listening party, you know, a day before the record comes out. And Kelly and myself and Laura King, who drummed and played on a ton of the tunes and helped us a ton, we're all just talking about, you know, reminiscing, just celebrating the process and since we're not doing any shows right now, and, you know, we weren't sure what the world was going to be like when we were planning the album release, and we would have loved to have a, you know, a listening party somewhere, but Laura's in Chapel Hill, Kelly's in Dayton, Ohio, I'm in Cincinnati. So this is our way of kind of doing that and just celebrating the record and saying, here it is. And so we're stoked on it. It's tomorrow at 9 on Bandcamp Live at the R Ring page. And
yeah.
And will you have it, will you leave it up afterwards? Is it going to live?
Yeah. Bandcamp, okay. 8 hours, then we'll just put it on YouTube until the satellites fall.
So
I want that song title.
Until the satellites fall.
Yeah.
Stamped right here. quickly ask this too, because as you say, no shows and everything, but there are Breeders shows later, and I was only going to quickly hit there because what, Coachella, and it's the Last Splash, is that right? Is that what you guys are doing in full?
Well, we're doing, and I actually wrote these down. My sister said, "Now, are you saying that we're doing Breeders show when you're doing all your publicity for this record? Are you plugging our shows?" Like, oh, I didn't. Let me look them up, Kim. So we have a show in Nashville at 317. I don't know where it is now, but it's somewhere in Nashville on March 17th, and in Atlanta, March 18th. And then we're doing something called the Innings Fest at 319. And it seems very interesting to me. I'm very intrigued by it. It has something to do with baseball and music, and they are doing something. And I can do a report. You know, real-time reporter on the streets at the Innings Fest for me. Let me know if you want me to do that. I don't know what's going on with that. I think it's weird. And then we're doing Coachella in April. Mm-hmm. And then, 2023 is the 30th anniversary for Last Splash, the record. Yeah. So there could be a release. There could be some Last Splash shows.
We're just leaving that to could be. I like this. Could be.
Could be. You may be hearing about that a little bit later. Yeah.
Oh, I would love that. I mean, obviously a classic there. And by the way, you know, we briefly talked, I mean, you touched on the last Breeders record that I still love listening to all the time. And the amount of times even my wife and I will just say, wait in the car, I got business. We commit every single time. Yeah.
I'm so glad. That's such a great line.
And a great album. And this is a great album, War Poems We Rested. Seriously, as I said, I can't listen to this one enough. And I haven't read all the poems. I've only got the digital of what's come through. So I hope to read the rest of those soon because, yeah, I just love everything that's going on here. So thank all three of you all, Kelly and Mike and Matt. What you've done is an honestly beautiful piece of art.
Thanks. You so much. Thanks for letting us come on and share it.
Anytime.
Awesome.
This is like the most fun, easy conversation I've had all week. So especially with you guys asking questions to each other, I just sit back and go, please, more. I'm learning as well.
Well, the idea of the interview, it's like, yes, Kelly and I, we're stoked about the record, but we feel like what Matt brought to the table by including all of these other artists, it's so humbling to see how big he made. It's not just our record. So when we want to talk and gush about this and beat people over the head with it, it's because we want everyone to know, like, all of these people that contributed art to this thing. It's not just a little zine that happens to be in the poly bag. It's like, and I don't even care if we say a freaking single word about the music. It's like, I want people to read this and just talk about art and talk about collaboration and just talk about.
Don't forget Sam Cormack. She did these beautiful pen and ink. This is typewriter. And she did these ink drawings in there. And so much of her art that's in this, we lovingly borrowed. We gratefully borrowed. Maybe that's a better way to say it. So, yeah.
It's a conversation about inspiration and collaboration and creation. Yes. That's the story we're trying to tell, not just like, check us out on Spotify. I know I was just plugging Bandcamp and all that kind of thing, but yeah, the larger conversation that draws in every listener, every person is that idea, like, get stoked on something, do something. Matt got these people to do this during the pandemic just for the hell of it. You know what I mean? Like, no one's making any money. We're just making art. And if it doesn't, like, put a smile in your heart and give you something to set your course towards, like, I don't know what we're doing, you know?
We are lobbying art bombs.
Yeah.
Thank goodness you're doing it. Thank God somebody's doing it. So
you're doing it too, man, with your show and having people on, like, what a platform, you know? This isn't just us. The story is not us. It's bigger.
Well, you know, for a fan like me, you give me all of these reasons to not just dig in, but revisit over and over. And I know, I mean, you can tell this is one of those pieces that's going to give something different every time you dig into it with all
of
these
pieces. Thank you so much, Kyle. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
And my thanks to Kelly Deal, Mike Montgomery, and Matt Hart. The new R-Ring album is called War Poems We Rested. Big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode and the series. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual spots that include iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on the social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Such a pleasure, you guys. It was lovely to spend some time with all of you.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.